Clap in.
Yes.
We clap in, so it helps me sync it when we edit later.
Okay.
Do you want to clap? I'll hold.
Okay.
All right. Krista, are you ready to record?
Yeah, I'm recording already. Oh, oops. Yeah, I'm recording.
You're recording now? Okay. 3, 2, 1, clap. Okay.
Nice.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, everybody. It's been, how long has it been since our last new episode, Krista?
Probably like a month-ish. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, that's the next show we're doing, month-ish, on ABC. We are joined today with a special guest. This is our second ever guest on the podcast. Cammie, why don't you let the folks know who you are?
Hello, my name's Cammie. I'm a very good friend of yours, David. I don't know. I love watching TV. I've been watching TV since I was a kid, and my dad used to refer to it as the boob tube. So, yeah.
The boob tube?
Mm-hmm.
Krista, did you have any names for the television in your household?
No, I don't think so.
We didn't either, but I did. On VHS, we had a film called The Groove Tube. And it was like a bunch of segments. It was like pre-SNL, but it was sketches making fun of TV. And I remember there was a gorilla on the cover and his head was a TV or something like that. You know about this?
No.
It was like Kentucky Fried Movie or like, you know, one of those movies.
No.
Okay. So what show are we talking about today?
Oh, I thought you knew.
I do know. Today we're talking about the 1993 to 2003 program Frasier, which presumably aired on NBC, and we're also talking about the Paramount Plus streaming program, which aired in 2023 to 20 whatever, Frasier, a real Frasier versus Frasier situation.
Kind of interesting. NBC had it first and then Paramount Plus takes over.
And maybe NBC is getting it again? Did you see it just got canceled?
I did. And I was trying to see who was going to pick it up, if anyone's going to pick it up. Because it was canceled, like, not super recently, but not, like, in the last, I don't know, few days. It's been a while, right?
It's been maybe the last few months.
I just feel like usually when something is canceled, like, someone else picks it up pretty quick or they don't. Because it's like, don't. Kind of like, yeah, like, it takes a little bit too much time.
Well, is there, like, is there a contingency of people who are so in love with the Frasier reboot that they're petitioning? Because I didn't see any petitions out there.
And you're on change.org regularly, right?
Exactly.
Looking for petitions.
Trolling for petitions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be something interesting to track. And then maybe in the future, if there is a third season, it would be like its own reboot of the reboot, and we could maybe watch it for the pod.
A three boot. On the topic of constituencies, I'm interested in hearing from both of you, what is your familiarity with Frasier? Krista, why don't you go first?
None. Like, I mean, I knew of it. Never, I don't think I watched any episodes ever. I don't think it was ever on in the background. So very, very little.
So I definitely watched Frasier. I don't have any memory of, like, the particulars of any episode, but I loved the dog, Eddie. And so any show that had a dog in it, I would be watching. And I just think my parents would kind of turn it on, but I don't know if any of us actually, like, were paying attention. But, you know, I liked the little, like, hijinks that would happen, and some of the, like, vague self-help stuff that he was talking about. But I think for the most part, it was just I liked the dad, the old man, and
John Mahoney, I believe. Speaking of dogs and shows, Krista, have you and I ever talked about the show Wishbone on PBS?
No, but Wishbone. Great show, right?
Yeah, it's about a little dog that's in books.
We should definitely do a PBS show soon.
Well, I mean, we better do it quick because it's on the way out.
We can raise funds for it like we do Wikipedia.
Well, Wikipedia comes up in the second episode of Frasier. Why don't we jump right into... Well, I guess
Wait,
I could
David,
share.
David, you didn't... Yeah, what's your familiarity?
You're right. I don't remember putting on Frasier consciously, and it wasn't in my household. That being said, I feel like I would maybe flip on Friends, on, you know, and I hate to say it because I'm not the biggest Friends fan. Maybe I would flip something. Maybe like just the local news or something, but I would catch the tail, no pun intended, but the tail end of Frasier when it would do its little, oh, we're going to act out something that was in the thing, but the song. I remember Kelsey Grammer singing his scrambled egg song and the little dog like doing something. And I'm a big sucker for dogs myself, so I love to see it.
You know, I'd love to know what the like lineup for Frasier was. Like what was on before Frasier and after?
I'm guessing like Caroline in the City.
Caroline in the City? What was that about?
It was about a woman named Caroline.
In the City?
Yeah, I think it was Caroline Ray. And I want to say like Paul Reiser might have been on it or something. And then maybe Friends, maybe Fresh Prince, maybe some Seinfeld in the mix. Can't miss
TGI so Thursday. Which is so interesting because I'm so much more familiar with like all of those shows. So I'm kind of curious like why this one just doesn't like stand out to me at all.
I think for me it just felt very like adult and like, oh, I'll get this someday.
Well, because they were always like I think the language, especially like rewatching it now, I was like, there was this overemphasis on like this academic erudite language, and then like, well, here we are drinking our Riesling wine and cognac, you know, like it did seem very adult and kind of like it was boring, which is why like I only enjoyed the parts with the dad, the dog, and then Daphne, who was the caregiver.
Triple D, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
No, I think that's a great point, though, because I also found it kind of boring. And I was like thinking about this, like it seemed like a very intellectual show or for folks who are like intellectually minded, which I would consider myself part of that group. But I think I don't watch TV for that. Like, I don't want to necessarily like, be, like, watch a sitcom to be, like, intellectually challenged. Like, I want to watch a sitcom to, like, give my brain a break from, like,
whatever is
happening in the world that I'm trying to escape from.
Would you prefer if this show were, like, printed and, like, Xeroxed a bunch of times and, like, the justifications were all diagonal and you read it very quickly before a class or something like that?
Maybe. I almost wonder if, like, there was, like, if there was a movie of this show, like, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, if you put the essence of this show into a movie, I probably wouldn't hate the movie. Like, I'd probably be more inclined to like the movie than the show. Because, like, a set period of time. Mm-hmm. Not, like, ongoing. I don't know.
I do dig that. And I think one of, like, the things about this podcast is we are dropped into the middle. And it seems like we have varying but still kind of limited context around the show. That being said, would you like to jump into it?
Yeah, let's get into it. So we watched for the first one, we're going to start with the original, season 3, episode 4. It's titled Leapin' Lizards. And just a little background on Frasier. David already kind of shared when it ran from. And then also, I did not know this when I looked it up. It was created as a spinoff of Cheers.
Yes.
That's how little Cheers I know about this show.
It's in the Cheers-iverse.
And we also saw it's in the Wings universe.
Yeah, Wings.
Yeah, I read that too.
Small airport.
I thought it was the band, Wings.
Yeah, oh, I'm wearing a Paul McCartney shirt.
Happy birthday, Paul McCartney, yesterday. And this episode is going to be going up right away, so that'll make sense. So we're talking about Leapin' Lizards. What did y'all think when you heard that title, episode 3, episode 4, season 3, Leapin'
Lizards?
What did y'all think when you heard that title? What did you think it was going to be about?
I mean, I figured there'd be a lizard in there.
Mm-hmm. I actually didn't know if there'd be a lizard in there, and not to get too ahead of ours, but I was surprised there was a real one.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to be about a lizard because it didn't seem, honestly, like the show that would, like, have any sort of, like, random animal that was not a just Jack Russell Terrier dog. I don't know why. That doesn't make any sense, but, yeah.
No, I think it does. I think it's kind of the basic, like, show where the setting of it. It doesn't seem like animals, exotic animals would be, like, in and out.
Yeah.
just based on it. Also, I want to mention, this is 1995 when this is released. I can jump into the plot.
Uh-huh, honey.
So the whole episode sets up at, or opens up at a radio show. Obviously, it's Frasier's. And his brother is asking him for a museum card to, like, get tickets to a new exhibit. Frasier immediately has to do, like, a PSA about some heart issues, I think, which I guess our PSA is, like, get tested for heart issues because they're very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And then it leads into this caller from Australia who just moved to the States, I think, and who's calling in about, like, an annoying coworker. And Frasier's advice is that he should probably just, like, stay away from him. And he's like,
good advice.
Well, like, yeah, if you can. I feel like that's not as easy these days. But it leads into us finding out that the caller is actually the host of the next show, and his name is Bulldog.
Bulldog. First of all, shout out to Kelsey Grammer, who plays Frasier, and Niles, yeah, the brother, is played by
David Hyde Pierce.
David Hyde Pierce. I don't know who played Bulldog. Did anybody catch that?
No, nope. But apparently he was kind of just like a random recurring character, and then he became somewhat regular on the show.
Yeah. I did not know that. Mm-hmm. Good research.
Which I don't remember ever, but again, I remember no plot from when I watched it as a kid.
So Bulldog hosts a sports program.
Yeah.
And he pranks Frasier, and they're apparently very different and temperament.
Yeah.
Frasier's very kind of mid-Atlantic.
Yeah, very. Or something. He's an academic.
Transatlantic.
He's very serious. Probably pretty stern is a good word, maybe.
Mm.
Like, he's not really flexible, go with the flow. And he gets
pretty. And not Howard Stern.
No.
Right. Although he does host a radio show.
That is true. But yeah, he gets pretty angry with Bulldog, and he runs to, I guess it's like maybe the boss, Kate.
She is the station manager. The character's name is Kate Costas.
Yeah. Did they say her last name or did you look it up?
They said her name, last name, at least once. Yeah.
Oh, I
wrote
it
down.
Zero memory of that.
I wrote down her name, and I wrote down the dog's name, Eddie.
I definitely wrote the dog's name down too, because that's definitely important. But I wrote Kate down. I just didn't know her last name. But Frasier goes to her, complains about Bulldog, and really the scene ends with, like, Kate saying, you know, it kind of is what it is. She does go talk to Bulldog, but she's kind of like, if it's good for ratings.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they have tons of callers who are, like, loving the fact that he made fun of Frasier.
Yeah, every single caller on the switchboard except for one liked making fun of Frasier. I have one quick note about the Australian thing. Do you feel like the 90s like really emphasized, or I feel like so much of 90s culture was like, aren't Australians kind of interesting? I was thinking, because there's the whole fake accent, and it reminded me of those commercials for Foster's. Do you remember this beer?
I know of the beer. I don't know of the commercial.
They'd be like, how to speak Australian, and it would be like, oh no, someone opening up a can with a knife, and they'd be like, that's a can opener. And then he'd be like, Foster's, that's Australian for beer.
You know what, that was, I feel like the 90s was also the height of like when Outback Steakhouse was like the hottest thing. Like those commercials went hard. Yeah, because
Outback?
I just Googled it, because I was like, when did they, where they found it? Because that is what I associate Australia, associate Australians with, but like,
I associate
Australian
Australia
culture.
In the 90s was like Outback Steakhouse, Steve Irwin, and Crocodile Dundee.
Crocodile Dundee, that's not a knife. Shout out to our Australian listener, by the way. I do look at the analytics pretty regularly, and we have at least one.
Wow, what part of Australia?
About.
Oh, okay.
No, they're from Melbourne.
Nice.
I would love to go to Australia, side note. That's like a bucket list place for me and has been for a super long time.
Mm.
I know you two share a common fear of snakes. Like, does that concern you about going to Australia?
Yeah, well, I probably won't go there ever.
Yeah,
there's a snakes lot there.
There's a lot of snakes and spiders. And it's, I would have to be like on probably some very hard medications, because I think my anxiety would be way too, like, I don't think I would be able to handle it.
I agree. I would love to go to Australia and New Zealand, but Australia in particular feels like there's every sort of snake, bug,
creepy crawlers.
Yep. Yes, that will have some form of like poison or like something is just like bound to kill you. And everyone just thinks it's like fun and crazy. And I'm like, I want to be walking around in an astronaut suit. Like that would be the only way I'd feel safe, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd have to get through some like trauma.
I'm also afraid of getting kicked by a kangaroo. Or punched by one. I feel like that'd be even more embarrassing.
You know what, though? I went to a zoo recently in Santa Barbara, California. And you were able to walk through this, like, enclosure with wallabies and kangaroos. I don't know if they were just so used to humans or they were, like, drugged out. But they did nothing. They looked like cats. They just, like, were eating and lounging. So, you know, depends where you're at, but... Don't provoke a kangaroo.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's more about if you provoke it.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to, like, that movie Kangaroo Jack. I feel like that was at the tail end of, like, America's fascination with Australians.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Rocco's Modern Life. That was about a wallaby. Oh, you never saw that? Nickelodeon.
So.
Anyway, is this our first show about a show?
Probably.
Well, you could say it's the first show about a radio show.
Definitely.
Right?
Absolutely.
I'm just going by facts.
So one thing that jumped out about me as we go on to the next scene is I forgot that the show had little title cards ahead of the different scenes. This first one was Singing in the Rain, which as a show that takes place in Seattle seems appropriate.
Right. And it rained in the background, I think, every scene. I'm curious if that's how it is the whole series. Or just this episode, or do they, like, you know, throw a couple random dry moments in?
I have no clue, but I wonder if that, it could be a theme just because Seattle has that, stereotype, but also reality of, like, having rain, 80-90% of the year or something?
I think the only dry things about this show are the Merlot that they drink and
the Riesling,
the Oaky Shard. And the droll humor of Dr. Fraser Crane, played by?
Kelsey Grammer.
So in Singing in the Rain, we see a dog eating pate, which rules. We see a pretty sick apartment. Cammy, you noted the apartment. We watched it together, full disclosure. Krista, do you have any notes on that apartment?
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty timeless classic apartment. Like the aesthetic, I think... You could pretty much have that same apartment right now and it would fit with, like, today's style. I'm curious if it seemed, like, ahead of the times or, like, really innovative and cool for back then, where right now it's just, like, it's average. Not average. It's normal and cool. Like, it's classic. So I'm curious. But I did note that as well.
I loved the big windows. Perfect for seeing all that rain.
Yeah. And it has a very, like, mid-century modern with, like, fancy art and you know, an Eames chair. Like, it's definitely stuff that, like, has been, like, popular now that people, like, try to replicate in their homes. But yeah, that was a sexy apartment. And it was amazing that, like, okay, this was the question I always had, and I maybe you guys know this. Was the brother Niles, did he also live there, or was it Fraser, the dad, the dog, and the caregiver?
Who was the caregiver's name?
What
was
Daphne.
Daphne.
Daphne Moon.
Great name.
Sailor Daphne Moon's sister, yeah. Is that a crossover? Another crossover show?
I don't think so. I think that's right. I thought that there was a mention of him not living there, but I might be getting this confused with the reboot and the son. The four of them definitely live there. The call, though, made it seem like he lives there in this scene.
Right, right.
I'm sorry.
I think he's there often.
I actually just looked this up. Sailor Moon and Fraser are not related, but the Daphne character is related to Jimmy Moon from Seventh Heaven.
Uh-oh. Do you guys have to have a... Do you have to have a Seventh Heaven reference in every episode of Myths?
Yeah,
I don't think we've had Seventh Heaven references in most episodes of Mids.
Oh,
I feel like I was listening to one recently because I was in preparation for coming onto the show. I tried to listen to see what the, you know, I have been listening since
it's fine
since
if
February,
you did
January, February.
David definitely tries to get Seventh Heaven references in.
What happens in this scene?
The scene, yeah. So, like you said, Frasier comes home. Eddie is eating some pate. And then,
He's scared of the thunder. And that's the only thing that calms
him. Eddie?
Is pate.
Interesting.
Imported pate.
I like pate. Which
is funny because he lives in Seattle, so I'm sure it's thundering often. Or is it just rainy there? Or is it stormy? I don't know.
I think it's just raining, but this episode, it was like raining and thundering. I don't know.
I have no Pacific Northwest experience.
It rains a lot. I don't know about thunder.
I'll have to check in with my Seattle friends.
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Have you visited?
No. I was going to go last year, side note. I was going to go to the Bills-Seahawks game, but I went to LA instead, so.
Oh, yeah, that's where we.
For the pod, where we did the live recording.
We did the live one in this very apartment that Cam and I are in right now, on the same sofa.
Crazy. Full circle.
Wow.
But yeah, Seattle, so the dog is getting his snack. And then Frasier gets a call asking for his brother. And it's asking to settle a bet about some, like, singing club he was in, I guess. I kind of zoned out a little bit here, I'm not going to lie. But Frasier starts singing, and then, a falsetto. Of course, then we realize here that this is another one of Bulldog's pranks.
Yes, the dad comes out laughing. We kind of figure this out because,
dad comes out, we meet him here.
With a massive radio. Like, portable radio.
Yeah, do you think that would have messed 90s. With the frequency and, you know, with the call being in the same room? That would have just made the signal bad. I'm a fan of sports radio, and I mean, especially in the 90s, and I always remember them being like, hey, turn your thing off. We can hear the frequency.
Mm.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, so that kind of ends that scene. I think Frasier, you know, is like basically leaves. I don't want to say storms out, but... And is going to go to the station, and that's where we head next. And Bulldog is talking about the Seattle salmon.
Yeah, this, okay, let me...
Well, wait a minute. Can we go back a second? Because this is going to be relevant for the reboot. Is that, or there's a callback, and I don't know if it's an intentional callback, but when Bulldog says, like, oh, can you do this, like, sing this thing? It's from something called something Mikado?
Yes, the Mikado. Which does come up in the reboot, interestingly enough. Mm. I think it's like the HMS Pettifor type of Gilbert and Sullivan musical type thing. Okay. Type beat, lo-fi, beats gotcha. To study to. Yeah, so I think Frasier at this point's like, you know, I'm going to prank him back and something like that. And you're right, it goes to the station and Bulldog's talking about an NHL expansion team for Seattle. Did that happen at the time? Because I know they have recently got one.
Yeah, I Googled it to see if... Because he's like, oh, the leading name is like the Seattle Salmon.
Yes.
And he kind of is like, that's kind of a dumb name or something. I looked to see if Seattle had a team and then it like got moved or ended and then they got a team, expansion team. No, they just never got one until I think 2021 when they became the Seattle Kraken. Yeah. Yeah. So kind of interesting. Are you familiar with
the Seattle Kraken, Cammy? Do you know what
I know what a Kraken is. Jesus.
Okay, I'm sorry. Jeez.
But, are you walking away?
No, I was just readjusting.
I know what a Kraken is. Having watched Pirates of the Caribbean. There is a Kraken that comes up.
That's the only way I knew what a Kraken was. And then there's that liquor, Kraken, rum or something. Remember that?
Isn't there, like, a character in SpongeBob, too? And I have zero, like, are you sure?
I don't know. SpongeBob was kind of after my time.
Yeah, I never really watched it. I was just never into it. But I do feel like there was at least a reference.
You know what? I just have to say, gay icon, SpongeBob, it is Pride Month.
Yeah, shout out to Pride Month.
Shout out to SpongeBob.
Well, shout out to, is he gay? Shout out to
Juneteenth if we're going to be going that way, too.
Yes, shout out to Juneteenth. And also, it's Immigrant Heritage Month, June.
Great.
It is.
Okay, question. Are Frasier and Niles, are they just have a transatlantic accent or are they actually British? Because the dad obviously is American.
They have a transatlantic accent for sure. I don't know what their mom's deal is.
Yeah.
She never comes up.
Okay, because I just always assumed they were British because when I was a kid, because then there's the Daphne character is British, but she has a much more like heavy accent versus like them, which is just like, well, I went to Oxford and Harvard. So that's why it's like, you know.
This also threw me for a loop too. I thought Stewie from Family Guy was British, but he also has a transatlantic accent. Yeah. And then Major Winchester in MASH, I was like, oh, he's like British or something. Or I mean English or whatever. And there, but no, he has a transatlantic accent. That's just, people used to talk like that from a certain crest of society in the American Northeast.
Okay. Interesting.
This is what I'm told. Nathan J. Robinson still talks like that.
The current affairs editor.
Yes, we love. Shout out to Nathan J. Robinson. He has a podcast as well. So in this scene, it's crucially mentioned. Someone suggests the Seattle Lizards. And yep. Bulldog says, absolutely not. I
hate
lizards.
Yeah. And then Bulldog, this is kind of where Frasier shows up. He's like listening to this from outside the recording room. And he talks to Kate here. And it's like, hey, you didn't discipline like you said you were. And this is where Kate tells Frasier, you know, she's encouraging the back and forth. And encourages him to like strike back for about a lack of better words. And also tells him he, you know, he has no sense of humor. He needs to lighten up.
Have you ever gotten that accusation that you lack humor or don't have a sense of humor about yourself or something?
Yeah, every woman in America has when they're being told they're too dramatic and they just need to lighten up. Yeah.
Cammy, ooh. Any thoughts?
You know, I think I've only been told I wasn't funny once, but I don't believe them now, so.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I'm with you both.
But yeah, there's some times where, yeah, people are like, you just don't have a sense of humor after saying the most, like, brutal thing to you. And they're just like, you need to just, it's totally fine. It's all in jest. It was just a joke. And so, but I think, you know, this whole thing with Frasier was interesting because does this come next? And maybe I'm jumping ahead, so forgive me. When does he get told by his family he doesn't have a sense of humor? Or his dad tells him? Is this after?
The next scene.
Scene. Jump in. Yep.
So Frasier really has, like, the experience of being a woman in this show.
Definitely. And he does sing in a lilting falsetto. Yes. Ellen, I think his character that he played was a woman in The Mikado, so.
That's tight.
Yeah. Unintentionally, Kelsey Grammer was supporting women's rights.
Intentionally.
I think there's a clear line between the like masculinity of Bulldog's sports show and maybe the non-masculinity of Frasier Crane's like psychology show.
Interesting.
And I think that's what everything is about. Like you can kind of see that throughout with like the sports references and just like. I don't know, the things that he thinks are funny, I guess, and the things
interesting.
He makes fun of.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say interesting, too, because one character, the more masculine one, is named Bulldog. And then Frasier, his last name is an animal as well.
Crane.
And that animal, do you find that's coded more masculine or feminine?
I mean, I honestly don't really see the gender of it, but I do feel like it because there's the, like, delicate movements that a crane makes that maybe people would be like, oh, that's more of a feminine thing, perhaps.
I feel like there's a lot of nuance in the way a crane moves. And as someone who has a bulldog that's very close to me, very near and dear, they are anything but graceful.
Yeah, but I think it goes to like the soft-spokenness of like, you know, feminineness or supposedly-ness, but... Yeah, I don't know. I saw that pretty clear right at the beginning.
The nose knows.
Oh, yes, the nose knows.
Which the nose
knows. It's one of my favorite phrases.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. But I find it really silly because it's just like, the nose knows.
What does it mean, like, to trust your, like, sense of scent, smell, olfactory?
Yeah, I guess maybe it's to trust a certain sense that isn't, like... It's separate from thinking that it's like an immediate, you know, if you smell something, you're like, whoa, you know.
You're like, whoa, this is great.
But I don't really, I'm trying to think now about how this relates to the scene that comes after this, but we'll see.
Yeah, actually, yeah, how does this, do any of these titles
relate?
There
was like a line, there was a line in it that they made that was like a direct correlation to it in the first like 30 seconds of it. But it was like, it wasn't like an overarching theme. But Niall shows up with meds for the dog, his anxiety meds. There's kind of a little bit of a funny bit here where he, you know, he would never turn to like any medications to calm down, but then he like takes a scent of his wine and is like, you know, alluding to the fact that that might be his, you know, form of medication or drug.
That was cute.
Yeah, it was cute. That was probably like one of the more funny moments. I don't think it was like funny. I would say it was like clever.
I will say that, like, the Niles character I found always to be the funniest kind of, like, comic relief. Like,
yeah.
Because, like, as much as he and, like, Frasier, like, are, like, very similar, like, he's just a bit, like, they'll put him into these, like, scenes that are, like, a bit goofier or something. Like,
he's dialed up a bit.
Yeah. Frasier starts to say, like, oh, I need to get back at him and, like, try and, like, prank him. And the dad is kind of saying, like, you know, I don't think you should, because like you two have very different sense of what humor is, you know, that like Bulldog is a master of pranks and tricksters and all this stuff, but Frasier just doesn't have that in him. And then Frasier and Niles have this moment where they joke about like their wine club.
Oh, and yeah, like, rearranging the the letters and the names or
something. Yeah, yeah. And it's just, like, this funny shared moment between these brothers who I'm, like, you know, they're very similar in their, like, weird little, like, things that they enjoy, their wine clubs. Ooh, not that wine clubs are weird. Sorry to all the sommeliers and wine people listening. But
which we might have a few based on the analytics.
Oh, well, yeah. I don't want to get too, I don't want to offend anyone.
Krista, what happens next?
Yeah, so we go back to the radio station after, and basically the Bulldog's about to pick a couple of names out of a box for who's going to win tickets to a Seahawks game. And Frasier and Roz have put a lizard in there instead. And the prank starts to go off the rails when Roz shows up. Or I'm sorry, when Kate shows up, because Bulldog suggests she picks the name out. And when she does, she gets bit by this lizard. Apparently, like, her finger is bit off. You see, like, the lizard scurrying down the
hall. It's a gigantic lizard. It is not a tiny lizard. I thought it was going to be a small thing. It was like, where the hell would
where
you get
this Where did they get
thing?
That? I know, like,
probably a pet store.
Oh, yeah, I guess a pet store makes sense. Yeah, yeah. That's true. Well, because I thought, oh, he'll have a box full of little lizards.
Leap-in lizards. That's what I thought, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also,
there's no leap-in, and there's only one lizard. Yeah.
Also, I feel like that lizard isn't actually, like, that dangerous. I don't know. I feel like most lizards that size aren't, like, they're, like, bearded dragons, right? They're pretty harmless.
Yeah, I can't imagine one would
bite a finger off that quick. I mean, I don't know. It's not impossible. I'm not like a animal expert, but
you know, not everyone's a fan of the radio.
Yeah. I don't know. So Frasier goes to the hospital to support Kate and check on her finger. Roz kind of tries to talk her out of not telling her that like it was them. Kate is very upset in the hospital bed. Gets some, you know, medicine, gets a little loopy, and Frasier kind of finally admits that it was him. And that's mostly it.
I thought it was funny when he's, like, about to leave, and it kind of dawns on her what he said, and her bed goes up. It's like...
And then he's like, she's alive, or it's alive.
Yeah, it's alive.
Yeah.
In this scene, I have a note. There's a reference to a poo-poo platter.
Oh, yeah.
She says, my finger became a poo-poo platter for a lizard. I feel like that phrase was, like, big in the 90s.
Poo-poo platter.
Wasn't it either in Shrek or Mulan, like, the poop, that, what is it? What is that?
Okay, poo-poo platter is something, it's actually from Hawaii, I think. And you have all these, or maybe like Hawaii and then by way of Polynesia, because there was a... Why are you holding the phone so close to me? Sorry. No, okay. But it's like there's like a bunch of kind of like food on it. There's a bunch of different things, right? Have you ever seen it?
I'm not familiar. I just know it from like 90s pop culture. That was always like any sort of food that was like from anywhere else was like a punchline for a while. Like, I feel like it wasn't until like 2015 that Thai food like really got here. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you said like,
oh, wait a minute.
Pad Thai. What's
okay.
Hold isn't on, that funny? On.
It's like, hold on. And a poo-poo platter is a tray of American, Chinese, or Hawaiian food consisting of an assortment of small meat and seafood appetizers.
So sounds it's kind delicious. Of a blend of like, I'm very hungry.
American, Chinese food, Hawaiian food, and meats, smoked meats.
So is that pretty much the end of the show?
Yeah.
There's the little
kind of ends there.
Bit at the end about they prank Frasier a bit.
With a whoopee cushion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Theme song going over it.
Yeah, and for folks who are not aware, it's Kelsey Grammer singing like, you want to sing it?
Oh, I don't know the lyrics.
It's like, well, I hear the blues are coming, toss salads and scrambled eggs.
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like.
And that's on every outro, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I wasn't aware that they would act out something in the show. I thought it was always just a bit about, like, the dog and the dad. And maybe it was for some, but that's my memory of it from having tuned in to NBC or something occasionally.
Yeah.
So, any immediate thoughts about this episode? What did folks think? Cammy,
go ahead. I thought it was really mid.
You thought it was mid? Okay. Cammy, did you have a more favorable...
You know, I was bored by this episode. Honestly, like, I felt like a return to childhood Cammy, and I was like, oh, I'm excited when the dad and the dog come out. Like, that was the most entertaining part. And I think the, like, whole, like, kind of relationship between Roz, who's the
producer
of the show, and Frasier, like, that's always fun to me, because she's kind of like a... Not necessarily like a, because he seems to like be like a quote voice of reason, but he also gets into like the weirdest like hijinks, because I just don't think he knows how to manage his emotions. But I still felt like this was, it just wasn't, I wouldn't want to sit and watch this and be entertained. Like even the whole lizard part, like it just wasn't as, it was, wasn't as fun as I thought it was going to be.
Krista? You
know? Yeah, I mean... the show did not leave me wondering about anything before or after this episode. In a time in my life where there's so much I want to watch, this is not what I'm putting on my list, even close, top 10 or 15. Like, there are so many other shows that we've watched on this podcast where I'm like, I either want to know what happened before, I want to know what happened after, or I would still turn it on in the background, and this doesn't cut it. And it's not that it was bad, it just... wasn't my vibe.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was funny, not necessarily ha-ha funny, but yeah, like you said, Krista, there's some clever stuff in there. But, you know, I'd say it's fine. I'd put it on a rainy day.
Oh.
See, I wouldn't.
You want something less dry, ironically?
You know, but, like, I remember thinking some things were funny about this show, and I don't know if, like, Kelsey... I mean, I've liked Kelsey Grammer... in only one other show
that he'd been on. What was that?
So he was on 3 episodes of 30 Rock.
Oh, yeah.
And he's playing himself. And, like, in one of them, he's, like, doing a grift against Carvel ice cream cakes with Jane Krasowski's character, Jenna Maroney. And,
yeah.
And then he does a one-man show about Abraham Lincoln, which I think you would enjoy.
Oh, that. I'm a big Lincoln head.
But he was good in that because he was playing, like, a version of, like, himself and Frasier, but it was, like, you know, he's doing grifts, you know, like, and stealing money from people despite
being, a bit against character.
Wealthy.
The only other comment that I have on the first show is super white cast.
Oh my gosh, like, yeah, I noted that.
Almost no color, minorities.
Yeah, the only person of color was Bulldog's producer, who he pretends is named a woman.
Kate calls him like a woman's name.
Darlene.
Oh yeah, Darlene.
Yeah, that must have been a popular name at the time.
Big. Oh, like this is a good time name. Capsule for the 90s, yeah.
Is anyone named being named Darlene now?
I don't think people are really rocking with Darlene anymore as a child's name.
Hmm.
No, I don't think so.
Have you met a Darlene in your life?
Oh, maybe.
I don't know
Not off the top of my head.
If you're a Darlene, can you please write us at our email address, which is... Krista, what, you know, I know what it is.
Midspodcast@gmail.com.
Or hit us
maybe up on Instagram. Yeah, I was going to say, maybe I'll do a poll on Instagram on, like, what decades people named Darlene were born in, and see if it was, like, more popular at this time.
Yeah.
We have to get a representative sample of Darlenes. How many?
Yeah.
Is that, like, 27 Darlenes?
I'm just going to go... follow a bunch of Darlenes and then be like, hey, take my poll.
I grew up with an Arlene, like in my community.
Darlene?
Huh?
Is that just a riff on Darlene?
I think
no,
it's
know
like
an Arlene, actually.
Do you know an Arlene?
Yeah. A super old lady though.
Oh, mine was around my age.
Do you know an Arlene?
Yeah.
I don't think so. You don't see Darlene though in Darlene. Oh, I know Charlene.
Who's Charlene?
Yeah, that's
She was this older white lady who lived across the street from me when I was a kid. She would smoke like a chimney, and she had a schnauzer dog.
Krista, you know this? You know the same Charlene?
Everyone, you know what? That's pretty standard Charlene.
Yeah. I don't want to be stereotyped, but absolutely.
Is Charlene like, what's the word? Like a smoking mom? Cigarette mom?
Cigarette mom.
Shout out to cigarette moms, and also shout out to Charlene Yee from...
What?
The actress, Charlene Yee?
I don't know who that is.
You know, I don't know either. But also, shout out, I want to say Kelsey Grammer. I am a fan of his work on the long-running animated series on Fox, The Simpsons, in which he has appeared as Sideshow Bob 30 times, we read?
Something around that.
We read his Wikipedia page last night, Kelsey Grammer. Heat thermometer for this episode, Krista? Rapid response heat thermometer?
I don't know, like 25.
25, Cammy?
Wait a minute. What is the heat thermometer?
For folks who are not familiar, and we know Cammy is familiar as a longtime listener, but first time caller. A heat thermometer is just, we're gauging the temperature of how warmly you feel about something. And, you know, this show is evidence-based.
In Fahrenheit or Celsius.
Fahrenheit. You know, we should have done Celsius for the mids Chopped Canada.
That would be hilarious.
Dang. Okay. Well, we're going to do it in Fahrenheit, though. So apologies to our mostly, at this point, international fan base.
Wait a minute. It's not really like a temperature, though, because it's out of 100.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I guess for Celsius... Yeah, that's true. We're not figuring out how, like, comfortable
it's not really
warm
a degrees. It's just like a 1 to 100 scale.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
All right. You get it? All right. So, Krista, yours was 25?
Yeah.
Cammy?
Okay. I'd say mine is like a 42.
Okay. I'm going to go 64.
Wow.
Nintendo That's really 64.
High. Did you have a favorite part of the episode?
Oh, my favorite part of the episode was when Eddie was like on the couch like, and they're like, oh, he doesn't need a second dose. He was like hanging off the couch. I thought that was really good dog acting.
Yeah, that was cute. He was a great dog actor. I wonder if it was the same
dog. Do we know that dog's name?
I'm going to look it up.
Because I kind of got shades of that dog.
The dog's name?
The real dog.
In the show? Oh, the real dog.
The real life dog.
Because I got shades of the wonderful dog actor Happy, who portrayed Happy on Seventh Heaven.
Oh my god.
Also, I want to give a shout out to... Who was the character? Daphne? I thought that was a fun character. She had some funny lines.
Okay, let me just tell you that Eddie was portrayed by two different dogs. One was Enzo, and the other one was Moose.
Moose.
There's a character named Moose on the Frasier revival.
Reboot.
Yes, there yeah.
Which
there
is a great transition. Wow.
Yeah, wait, let's pause for a second, though.
Pause?
For, yeah.
For Wizard of Pause.
Oh, no.
Shout out to BYU TV.
Great channel. We highly recommend.
So, for the next episode, I'll say, I think we should just pop in and say that the show got a renaissance when it was put on Netflix, I believe, and that's probably what led to the revival.
All right, so Frasier... The revival, we watched season 1, episode 4, Trivial
Pursuits.
So, yeah. We start off where Frasier and
Let's give the people a little background. When did it air, David? He's getting so excited.
Presumably 2023.
Yeah, so also October 26, 2023. And it's season 1, episode 4. Like we mentioned, the revival only has... currently two seasons. So usually on mids, we do not do a first season episode because it's not in the middle of the show. But David, you did some math. Is that correct?
I did some math. There's a formula.
Reveal what it is.
No, I basically looked at what was 20% of the way through each show because we did a random number generator. That's how we landed on the first one. Second one, we're giving you a little inside baseball, but that is how we came up with this one.
Mm. Cool. And I only say that because one of my biggest takeaways from the show actually has to do with the fact that it was in the first season. So I wanted that to be pretty clear from the onset. But David, do you wanna do some of the summary this time?
Intro, bar, Boston, which is where the Frasier character's from. And not the Cheers bar, I don't think, but a bar called Mahoney's, which... presumably is named after the actor who played his father, John Mahoney. Frasier is at this bar in which they're going to take part in trivia. And he is with two colleagues who I think teach at Harvard. And they are in the psychology department. Other tables we see are from the theology department. They all have punny names. And Frasier's son, Freddie, is with his team, which are...
firefighters.
Shout out to all the firefighters out there.
Yes.
So, this does very quickly, this question, that question. One of Frasier's colleagues gets drunk and argues.
Also, I think it's important to note that in the beginning of this scene, one of the firefighters, we find out, is Frasier's son. So he's like competing against his son at trivia.
Yes, that is a good note. And that son's name is Freddie, who was born on the show Cheers, and looked it up, but
Cheers.
There was an episode called like the crane brings a stork or something like that. Huh. So he was born on that and showed up in Cheers a little bit. But he is a firefighter, and I guess Frasier moved back to Boston to be close to him. His son is a firefighter, and he's very, very bright. And yes, I wrote down on my notes, Frasier has a son. There's like a bartender whose name is?
Eve,
and she has good rapport with lots of these characters. She's also serving as the trivia master. Is that the correct terminology? The MC?
The host?
The hostess? Frasier makes a reference to his ex-wife, Lilith. I didn't really know what that was about. I noted Wikipedia was referenced when she's saying, well, Wikipedia said this when Frasier's colleague was arguing with her about where Shakespeare quote was attributed to. Mm-hmm. I don't recall the quote. Do you? Do either of you?
All's well that ends well, I believe, was something of, that was the question of who said it, and they said the... son said Shakespeare, and then the psychology team with Frasier were saying, no, it's someone named Middleton?
Yeah, Kate Middleton.
Yes.
Tom Middleton.
She was active at that time. But I will note that this is kind of this interaction between the two trivia teams of Frasier's team and then the son Freddie's team is when there's this whole setup of... whether Frasier like thinks highly of his son because he's a firefighter and not like an academic or something.
Yeah. I want to note here one thing that landed to me very strangely, but was answered later in the episode. Mm. When the drunk colleague goes up to Eve and asks her, like, have you ever regretted anything in your life? And she says, quote, not saying I love you when my boyfriend left and never came back. And I was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. We were like, what the hell is this about?
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. I wouldn't you regret saying it if this person just took off? There's some fire humor in the show. It's also, can I make a real quick note on the first? My first note for the first episode was that it's a show in which there's one like kind of masculine sports guy, and the rest are like kind of, you know, intellectuals. And I wrote down that if this were a show that we're on today, it would be about one intellectual who's kind of the fish out of water in a more masculine or at least working class environment. Like, think about like these CBS shows where it's a lot of like, you know, I think Criminal Minds or something like that, where there's like that one guy who has kind of a transatlantic accent and the rest are like, you know, solving crimes over here, you know?
Who has a Ducky? Transatlantic accent Criminal Minds? Ducky.
That's NCIS.
Yeah. Well, CB, you know, you're right. When you're right, you're right.
Also, I was going to say, with Criminal Minds, I would disagree that it's one academic.
Yeah, I guess almost. You're right. There's like a bunch of
but
academics.
But maybe NCIS known. You might be more right with. If you're thinking
NCIS, there's also only one goth character. Most shows don't have any.
Well, and something, sorry to go back to Frasier, but...
Freddie
was a goth.
On Frasier.
On Frasier.
Which we found from looking at Wikipedia. Donate today if you can. Yeah. What happens next, Krista?
Yeah, so I think we left the scene with the fireman kind of like not being a good enough career for Frasier's son. Mm-hmm. And it kind of picks back up at home, where his son is just, like, kind of packing food to bring to the fire department for a meal.
He wants to make chili.
Yeah. It's kind of a chaotic scene, I think. This whole revival is chaotic, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, it moves through scenes or, like, moments really quickly, almost like a kid's show, mm-hmm. I felt. But, yeah, because you kind of see him packing stuff. And then the bartender stops by Eve and is like, hey, you know, you should probably invite your dad to the station so he'll like, take you more seriously, you know, et cetera, yeah. et cetera. And then Freddie does, and Frasier's like, oh, I'm so busy today or something. And Freddie kind of calls him out and was like, but you said you moved back here, like, spend time with me, so I'm gonna make you come and spend time with me.
Yeah, and in this scene, I was confused because, and again, I think this was a continual confusion that I think David and I both had.
I call him David on the pod every time.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was some confusion that David and I had about, like, who this bartender character was, like, in relation, because I was like, is she live with them? I was like, oh, maybe she's Freddie's girlfriend. But then she mentioned someone named Adam, and then it was clear she had a baby because she was borrowing the chili pot for a photo shoot of the baby in the chili pot.
A confusing piece there. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're obviously getting very small tidbits of Eve's backstory through this.
Right.
Which, you know, we do get a little bit more towards the end of the episode about, like, how her role is in this, sort of.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, there were, like, more characters of color compared to
I did notice the original in Frasier. This episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. The next scene, they did the little titles, right?
Yeah, brought the titles back. I thought they weren't, actually, and then they did.
Yeah, they did. So this one's 100 Dalmatians to Go. Basically, they're at the fire station, and Freddie kind of forewarns that emergencies can happen anytime. Immediately, like, another staff member is like, come, I need you immediately. Like, you're thinking it's going to lead up to this, like, really important thing. And it's really, like, he has to sit down and get, like, makeup done for a sexy firefighter shoot.
Which I thought was, like, a kind of a 90s trope, but do you... Actually, Krista, do you have, like, insight into this? Like, in the, like, the firefighter type of world?
I don't know if they do that anymore. I mean, I don't think they do it here.
Have you, do you know about this?
You know, I've seen, a hot Italian priest's calendar, but I have not seen a sexy firefighter calendar in a while.
Yeah, I feel like I saw one in the last few years out of, like, a bigger city, obviously to, like, raise money, but, yeah, I don't know. I do have other thoughts on, like, the way this fire department runs.
No, I know. The four-person fire department.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also on the scene, this is when the nephew, David, shows up with groceries that, like, Frasier asked him to get. And the firefighters think it's, like, an orphan.
Yeah, they use the word orphan a lot. In this show, which is interesting.
Well, because the sexy firefighter calendar was for orphaned kids.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I feel like that's not terminology that's really used that much anymore.
No.
So David, what do you
call an orphan, though? No.
I would say a child in the foster system.
Yeah, but are all of them placed in the foster system?
Well, I mean, but a child that's in an orphanage, as they would say, would be a child that's in this, like, systems involved.
Okay, system. That makes sense.
So we do learn that David is Freddy's cousin, and for Frasier heads out there, David is born on the very last episode of Frasier, so he's from 2003.
And he's also Niles and Daphne's kid, because Niles and Daphne find out that they love each other and they get married and have a child.
Have you guys watched all of Frasier and didn't tell me? No. We
read the Wikipedia.
But I remember the Frasier Daphne storyline of them figuring out they love each other. I do remember that from when I was a kid. So definitely clearly, I watched Frasier, but I...
You picked it up by osmosis. Osmosis. Yeah. Jones.
So wait, who... David is... Yes? Not Frasier.
Oh.
No. Wait, yes or no?
No.
Oh, I thought you were calling me.
David is...
Oh, no.
Frasier's brother's kid. So Niles.
Yeah, Niles and Daphne.
And Daphne, who is the caregiver. That's their child. So it's Frasier's nephew / Freddy's cousin. But the other firefighters... Like, based on, like, things he's saying, because he's clearly, like, an undergrad in college, and he's like, I haven't been sleeping, and I miss my parents, and I was
an angel.
Yeah, I was sleeping on the floor, so they think he's a, quote, orphan.
Yeah,
he's just very studious. And also, Freddy does not acknowledge him at any point.
Yeah, it's really bizarre, his character, like, the way he's, like, treated in the show. Like, even with, like, Frasier and Freddy.
I want to point out, only one of these firefighters has, like, a regional Boston accent, which I find kind of typical on TV shows. I know, Krista, you watch, like, Chicago Fire, right?
No.
Oh. Well, there's one character on there with, like, a very Chicago accent, and none of the rest do. I feel like that's TV. They're like, look, we need some local color, but not too much. We meet a Dalmatian in the scene.
Yeah, super cute dog.
Frasier talks to it and says, like, you can't push me over. You know, I have a lot of experience. I outlived that little whatever dog.
Rascal.
So it was very cute. That Dalmatian I found was adorable. We were just talking about how temperamental they could be, but that one really pulled at my...
He's a very good actor.
Great actor. I was getting definite Moose vibes. The actor who played
Eddie. Sure.
And speaking of Moose, the character with the regional accent is named Moose, and he displays a knowledge of French cuisine.
But specifically desserts, because there's this...
He's named for the dessert.
Instead of the chili being made, Frasier says, I'm going to make a cassoulet, which is a bean dish from France.
Bean, duck, sausage. It's hard to make. We looked it up.
Yeah.
What happens, Krista?
We meet the other fire folks in the department, and then they get their first fire call of the night. And you know, Freddie's obviously really excited here that his dad's going to be able to, like, watch him in action. But ultimately, the call is for somebody who is stuck in a dog door.
Who recognizes Frasier.
Yep. From his TV show?
Yeah, I guess he has a TV show now. So he's more impressed with Frasier, and he asks Freddie, oh, aren't you excited to see your dad in action like this? So it kind of, we could say this whole plan kind of backfired. Oh, and Frasier helps him deal with his anxiety while he's stuck. So it's kind of, I thought that was kind of sweet, actually.
Yeah, I thought so too. Also, I think there's like a moment here that's important to note where the guy in the door is like, oh my gosh, you must be so excited to like see your dad help somebody or something. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Kind of like reversing the whole point of the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A man's home is his cassoulet is the next scene.
Which is probably my favorite title for a scene so far. At least in this one. I don't remember in the last episode, all of them, but
I like singing this is kind of a good pun. This is good, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're back at the fire station. They're drinking wine. That doesn't seem like maybe the best thing to do at a fire department, but we'll let it slide. And Frasier here uses a word, fraternity, to describe, like, the group of firefighters. And Freddie really gets frustrated with the situation because he's like, oh, you see this whole thing is like a frat house, but not important. And this was, like, low-key a little disappointing for me because they, like, build Freddie up to be so intellectual.
Yeah.
But then he gets, like, really upset about this. And as soon as he said fraternity, I feel like I knew exactly what he was saying. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they wanted to make the point of, like, this dual meaning, but it, like, didn't hit with the way the whole episode went. Like, I just thought it seemed like, I don't know.
Yeah, he definitely did not assume best intention. And it kind of revealed, like, As bright as Freddie is, he maybe didn't have the, like, emotional awareness that you might think he would have.
And clearly, like, this whole thing with his dad touches a nerve, so maybe it's just, like, his normal way of being is, like, very different because he's just so pissed off about it, his dad.
Yeah.
In this episode, the whole time, he's, like, pissed off.
We do learn that, like, Frasier would make comments to him, like, about other career paths he could take, or he even uses the phrase like, my son's just a fireman or something like that. And I don't think he necessarily means harm by it, but I think if you hear that stuff over a long period of time, you kind of, you know, as they say, everything looks yellow to a jaundiced eye, you know?
Oh, yeah. I've never heard that.
Which could be a title card for one of these scenes. There is a callback to the Mikado, which you mentioned. How does it come up?
You know what? I think it comes up, and I don't know if this is the next scene, but, so I'm jumping ahead here, excuse me, but they do get a five alarm fire call for like a, it's like a chemical plant or something, or, and then, they can't have the cassoulet dinner, and they run off, and firefighters. And
they leave Frasier behind.
Yeah, Frasier's left behind with the cassoulet and the dog, the Dalmatian.
And he feeds some of it to it, which is, like, sweet.
Yeah. Sweet. But the next scene, he's at the bar Mahoney's. With Eve, and he starts kind of, he's watching the fire coverage on like the news, and then that's when you learn that like what she had a husband or a boyfriend who died who was a firefighter.
Adam.
But Adam, I thought, and Eve. This was where the like Mikado thing came up, and I honestly have no memory of why, but
that's where we learned that her boyfriend died. And I found it kind of, there's like that slow pan on Frasier, and he's like, you know what, now that I think about it, when my dad was on the police force, me and my brother would, you know, be scared that he wouldn't come home at night, but then we would sing the Mikado to cheer ourselves up. I think that's how it came out.
Yeah.
So it's like really right. Full circle, like they all kind of empathize. Is that the end of the show? Is that how it ends?
No. Yeah, so the last scene is at home, when Freddie gets home at, like, 5 a.m., and Frasier has made him chili and asks how work was. And he was talking, as he starts talking about it, Frasier starts crying. Not because of Freddy, but because of, like, the chili spicy. But it ends with them talking, and you see maybe, like, a moment of, like, moving forward. And then the actual very last scene is the same outro with David getting a bike or whatever at the...
In the fire station.
Which is, like, kind of a funny callback, but...
I thought the callbacks were good. I thought this was a good balance of, like, humor and more sentimental stuff. And quick heat thermometer, rapid response, Krista.
Like 20? I don't know.
Really? It was lower than the original.
Oh my god, this was not great.
Really? Okay, Cammie.
Yeah.
Oops. You know, I'd give it maybe like a 35. So it's a little bit higher. No, it's lower than my original Frasier score. So, yeah.
Wow, I'm giving this a solid 59.
Really?
I don't know. This I had some like laugh out loud moments on this, and Cammie, you can attest to that.
I can attest to that. You laugh.
Although there was one thing that was so unfunny that I went, ha ha, right?
Yeah, but I don't know what it was.
I don't recall. It did not make me laugh, but I went, ha!
Yeah, I feel like there was moments where they were trying to, like, replicate the kind of, like, you know, bumbling way that, like, Frasier would be. And it kind of just ended up being, like, it just didn't land. I don't know. Like, even, like, his little, like, scenes with the, at the trivia, like, it was just, it just didn't land the same way. And obviously, I get there was more sentiment because he's older and he's going through things and trying to bond with his son. But it was a little, like, yeah, they were trying to, like, add all these other new characters in, obviously. But it just didn't land for me.
Yeah.
I agree. I thought that the thing that this show did, which is, like, one of my biggest annoyances with sitcoms, is it makes every single punchline it can do. It's literally just punchline after punchline. And I'm like, like, it's not... Like, I see every single one coming. You don't have to do it.
That's so true.
That was, like, for me, like, that's why I just rated it a little bit lower. I also felt like the things that were probably, I'm assuming, were, like, loved about the original show were not in the show. Like, the tone and, like, the cadence and, like, the conversation was wildly different. And I don't know if that's a NBC to Paramount thing. I don't know if that's a the 90s to 2020 thing, but it was like watching way too like two different shows. And I feel like, David, if I'm wrong, correct me, but I felt like Roseanne, we felt like it did have a pretty through line where this one didn't feel like it.
It felt very different.
My other note, and I'm curious if you feel the same way, I felt like there was a lot of backstory for this that I was not aware of, but it was only the fourth episode. Like, I think, Kenny, we were kind of talking about that earlier when we were talking about, like, Eve's backstory.
Yeah.
But I felt like this could have been, like, there was so many questions I had. I was like, oh, they must have covered that in the first, like, four seasons of the show. And I'm like, nope, there's only been three other episodes. Like, that was really odd to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have anything else to add.
Yeah, I thought that the show definitely took more, or at least the episode we watched, took more of a fish out of water type approach, whereas the original Frasier just kind of owned that it was something different. I like this kind of felt not too dissimilar from like maybe a Last Man Standing or whatever the new one is with Tim Allen. And is that like Kat Dennings?
Oh, yeah. She plays his
Shifting
daughter.
Gears.
Yeah, you said you really wanted something to watch like that.
I said I really wanted to watch that for mids. I mean, I might have not said for mids, but I was thinking it. For full disclosure, we watched these episodes at like 7 and 8 a.m.
Yeah, 7 a.m. and 7:30 this morning.
So that's what I'm about.
I was not entertained that early in the morning by them. Like, I wish I watched it.
I was going to say, I watched them at 3 in the afternoon. I wasn't that entertained by them, so I don't know if time of day makes that much of a difference.
Well, we also have a time difference between us.
But again...
Yeah, but I didn't watch it in the morning. I watched it still in the afternoon here.
Well, we need someone to watch it in the evening in a different time zone. Maybe that'll get something going on. So if any... Our listener in Australia, if you're... interested in jumping on a Zoom call. Are any of our listeners for real, like, reach out to us? Because it's really cool that you're listening, and I want to know what your whole deal is.
Yeah, I'm a listener, and I didn't reach out. I was recruited, but I like it.
Yeah, shout out to ZipRecruiter. And with that, is there anything? Do we have any parting thoughts?
Okay, did they play tossed salad and scrambled eggs for the end of this?
Yes, video? But it was a little different in that he says, "You know the routine," and then he starts singing it. He's like, "I'm back. Frasier's back." He says some stuff like that.
Ew, I don't like that.
Frasier's back.
Kelsey Grammer, I have mixed feelings on him because he's. We learned some sad things about his past, but he's also just a difficult person.
It's kind of interesting that both of the shows that we watched feature probably two of the most prominent Republicans in, like, sitcom history. Roseanne Barr and Kelsey Grammer.
Also, yeah. I mean, do we wish a congratulations to Kelsey Grammer? He's welcoming his 8th child, isn't he?
Yes, I saw that just yesterday. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up.
I think it just came out. Dad of, oh no, yeah, it's dad of 8 at 70.
I think he's going to say 8 is enough at this point.
Honestly, I don't think so. If he's if he's 70, he still thinks he's virile, so.
Well, did you see the thing about that 135-year-old turtle that just became a dad on Father's Day in the United States?
Yeah, that's true.
For the first
time. For the first time. How do they know that's for the first time?
I don't know. Yeah, it's weird.
Shout out to turtles.
Oh, I love a turtle. Captivity?
Yeah, but it's like a long time. But I like turtles.
Who's seen the I Like Turtles clip?
Who's seen the one where they splice it in with Bill O'Reilly and he's like, "I'll give you the final word," and he goes, "I like turtles," and he's like, "I'm gonna mute your mic."
I want that little kid to come on our pod.
Well, he's an older gentleman now.
That's what I'm saying. It was a long time ago.
A long time ago.
Wow.
He's probably older than the David character in Frasier.
Reboot.
It's a revival.
Yeah. It was from 2007.
So I'm sorry. I like turtles. Dang.
I like turtles.
What's everyone's favorite? Quick. What's your favorite, like, little video like that?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, God. Oh, you know what? It's this newscaster who is stomping on grapes. And she falls down on live air, and then she goes, oh.
Yeah.
And it's really cool.
That's a good one. On that news note, I love the one where the kid's like, apparently I was on the ride. Apparently. He got to go on Ellen, and he kind of fumbled the bag on that. He was not as funny, but it's mean. Wow. Yeah, he seems like a nice kid, though. I think I saw him interviewed recently.
Edit that out.
Did you just Ellen, I don't think funny?
On Ellen, which I don't think was a great environment to be funny on. Shout out
she was
to...
She was a taunting, threatening presence.
She was kind of mean to her guests. Shout out to Dakota Johnson, by the way. I know she's a friend of the show. Krista, do you have a favorite video like that?
Not off the top of my head. The I Like Turtles one is definitely one of the ones I've referenced the most in life.
Yeah.
I say that all the time. I like turtles.
Oh. Yeah, shout out to that vine where the guy says, "I want to be a cowboy."
Oh, that's also a top one for... That's a top, one for the show, I think. The mids one. That's, the mids favorite.
Well, with that, I'll say all's well that ends well. And thank you so much, Cammie, for being here as our second ever...
Yes, thank you.
...guest.
Thank you for having me. This is a dream come true. And my first spot podcast that I've ever been on.
We are glad to be that podcast for you. Krista, Cammie, I'm glad you two got to meet.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Well, thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.